to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast, Tuesday, June 20th. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway.
We are 3 men in hats today.
Yeah, I just saw that in the monitor. We're all wearing hats. Jason is...
Which means... I'm not usually the hat guy. You guys, it's very common to be two-thirds of us in hats.
Yeah, you're not normally the hat guy, but when you have a chance to rep the Sasquatch...
Right. When you get a sweet new Sasquatch hat, you gotta throw it on.
Quatch, as they call it.
Right.
Up north.
Yeah. Me and the Quatch get along very well.
Well, the NFL decided to put all the big news on hold for us. You had a couple of new episodes last week, but we, all three of us, were out of town with our families, taking that yearly vacation, and we all came back. We all made it back alive. I think everybody had a good time.
Yeah,
indeed.
I think we had an excellent time.
With a hat like that, you had to.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get this in Arizona. The Quatch is not in Arizona. That's way further north.
Now, that's not, to be clear, that's not Derrick Henry.
No, it's not a Yeti. It's like a first cousin.
They're not the same thing.
No.
The Yeti is from the mountains and the snow. That Derrick Henry turns into the Yeti when it gets cold.
I just feel like Jason was so close to the North Pole that maybe it was a Yeti. That's all.
Yeah,
did you confirm that that wasn't a Yeti hat?
I have no idea. My wife just got this hat when we were in a city, and I was like, I'll put it on. And now it's still on.
Now it's just, who you are.
It's just a dude.
It's just a dude with a big back.
Oh, boy. Well, we have a mock draft episode for you today.
Mock-a-locka ding dong.
You ready for that?
I am always ready for a mock draft.
Jason rigged it, Mike. He has the number one pick in our mock draft.
I wonder who he's going to take.
Actually, I do wonder who he's going to take.
I don't.
Interesting. I'm curious who Mike thinks is such a home run first pick.
Christian McCaffrey.
Before we had the, turn the podcast on, I was looking at where the ADP sits right now. And the top five are kind of weird, I think, compared to previous years.
Yeah, certainly. Right now, Christian McCaffrey is not the 101 in ADP. It's actually Justin Jefferson on both of the major platforms that we're doing drafts on right now. So,
have we ever had it where there are no consecutive positions in the top five? I mean, we have right now is Jefferson, McCaffrey, Chase, Eckler, Kelsey. That's the top five
impressive.
Right now. That's just weird.
Yeah. No,
it's not running back top heavy the way it has been before. And you know that because Bijan is like the number three running back off the board by ADP.
It's what happens when running backs have a down season. Everyone bails. And then running backs have a good season. And then people put them back in the front.
Yeah. So we have a mock draft episode today. Mike is drafting from the 5 spot. I've got the 9 spot on today's mock draft. We do have a quick question here at the top, a reminder as well. The Ultimate Draft Kit is available right now, being updated basically daily at this point in time. All of our rankings, player projections, 100-plus player profile videos, tons of research tools, including the ADP
news
that I was just referencing, all the news, sleepers, breakouts, bust, values, UltimateDraftKit.com for that. The quick question today is, what quarterback do you expect to rise the most in ADP over the course of the offseason? We've each selected some low ADP quarterbacks we think will see their value increase.
Yeah, for me, it's Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, obviously, his value is going to be based upon his health. That being said, right now, where he's being drafted, which is quarterback 22 on Underdog, I mean, he is being drafted as if it is a guarantee that he's missing 6 to 8 games of the season. And if he doesn't start on the pup, if it looks like, you know, some workout videos are coming and he's looking good, and then the obligatory, oh, he's ahead of schedule. If you look at the timeline of his surgery, it's not out of the realm of possibility he starts week one. Like, that's actually in the normalish time frame there. I think because the Cardinals are bad and, you know, the media is kind of assuming, oh, they're going to be trying to be in a real tank year, a real break it down, tear it to the nubs, that they'll rest Kyler even if he's close to ready, but they're not going to rush him back. And that makes a lot of logical sense.
Yeah, I think that's what I believe too.
Yeah, and so, but that is why I think right now in this portion of the offseason, his ADP is so low. I find him on a lot of my underdog teams because the value he can provide when he's back is worth grabbing him, you know, next to the other quarterbacks in the 20s. And then there is a chance that he is ready week one. That, you know, I don't think people are giving that actual legitimacy.
It's a possibility. I was scanning the Instagram of Kyler Murray to try to get some updates on the workout.
Oh, he gave you an update.
There's a yoked,
a thirst trap update.
There's a yoked picture of Kyler that I shared with
Drink
you.
Drink it in.
I only bring that up because did you see the Ben Simmons comeback hype photos?
Ben Simmons as in NBA Ben Simmons?
Correct. Also known as Lifetime Disappointment Ben Simmons. But did you see he posted some pictures of how yoked he was? But he forgot that he had also posted one of those earlier, and the new one had been photoshopped to make him larger.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He got caught?
I'm just saying that, like, I didn't know that was a way you could go, but don't necessarily trust all of these pictures.
Wait. You're telling me that people put photographs on Instagram and they don't actually look like that?
I guess
like
not.
They're lying on the internet?
My life is a lie. I thought that was all real.
I find this very disappointing.
Yeah, well, it's true.
Kyler is no longer a boy. That's a man.
Oh, did you just catch
the picture?
I just saw
that. I mean, he's jacked.
Yeah, but it could be Photoshop muscles.
Now, Jason, or have you been...
which is the... Can we get live muscles added to me on the show? Producers, do you do anything?
Yeah, AI's got to be able to handle this.
A little weight loss over here.
Just move some of...
Slim, yeah, move some of me over to Andy. And it'll be great.
Have you
just
so
enable the filter?
Jay, have you been insuring Kyler Murray with Clayton Tune, quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals? So they're talking about maybe he's going to be starting week one.
I have not.
How does that make you feel about Kyler?
I have not been insuring with Clayton Tune. No, I don't believe he would be the quarterback week one. But I don't know. A lot of people like him as a rookie.
I will throw Matthew Stafford's name out there. This was the quarterback 5 in 2021. That's his last full season in the NFL. So being drafted at QB21, similar narrative as to Jason's Kyler Murray take. Kind of a team that people are down on. But Matthew Stafford, if he's back and healthy, should not be being drafted by Kenny Pickett, Sam Howell, and Derek Carr, which
Agreed.
Is where he currently is going, which is quarterback 21 on Underdog, 24 on Sleeper. And, so Stafford, I think they'll figure the offense out. And I think we've brought this up. This is going to be one of those maybe value opportunities across the board, Cup, Stafford, and anybody else. Now I'm seeing the Ben Simmons.
Yeah, so I am cackling
picture.
Over you. I didn't listen to a single word you just said, Andy.
I'm sorry.
Because I'm looking at the Simmons. It's so egregious.
it doesn't look like a human.
Like, they didn't just, like, you know, do a little sculpt, do a little shading so it makes your muscles look. He looks not human in the photo. He posted this?
This was real. Yeah.
Now, did he write, like, hashtag goals under it?
Probably, yeah. Because
he wants to look like this?
Yeah, so I'm sure being that yoked will help him shoot. No, that's just an embarrassing thing to be caught
doing. That's a bodybuilder physique. That's
and,
not an NBA player.
Also fake. So, Mike, just to update you, I said Matthew Stafford.
I agree. I agree with that one. And
what
I
do
took,
you got?
Mine's over an injury concern as well. It is Brock Purdy of the San Francisco 49ers who, while it's not confirmed that he is the starting quarterback, that's how all three of us are projecting. That certainly seems the way the wind seems to be blowing, that Trey Lance will be on the bench yet again. And Brock Purdy looked, I mean, he looked pretty adequate in his starts and San Francisco quarterbacks.
Cause he, such like, a letdown on the sentence, man.
Because
he looked good.
I thought he looked adequate. I had my complaints with Brock Purdy of it seemed like it's if the first option wasn't there, things kind of broke down. That was just the way that I interpreted the play. But he won a lot of games for them.
He never lost.
Yeah, so he won a bunch of games. He certainly, I believe,
13-4 touchdown to interception ratio. I thought it was impressive.
But also,
I would go adequate plus.
What is the what was the those teams that he beat? That's part of the knock.
Whoever he played,
but read them to just read them off. Do you have? I thought you had.
Don't make me read them off because I don't have them right here.
Oh, okay. But the schedule was pretty soft at that time. However, he deserves the right to be the starter after not losing. And so the teams, we got Miami, Tampa Bay, Seattle, Washington, the Raiders, and Arizona. So that's not – they're like, who's the best team there? I guess
– Miami.
Yeah, okay. So it's not really a juggernaut gauntlet there of teams that – but he beat them, and San Francisco quarterbacks can give us fantasy value. And to be drafted right now is QB25 on Underdog, QB27 on Sleeper. He will certainly outproduce that should he be the starter.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel like anybody wants to take him in mocks right now because they don't know if he's going to start. So, all right, let's talk a little bit of news that we missed while we were away.
News and notes from around the league.
Well, it's Ravens injury news. JK,
this one's not injury.
Sure. J.K. Dobbins declined to comment on reports he missed June minicamp due to a soft tissue injury and suggested he's frustrated with his contract situation.
Yeah, the phrase hold in has been talked about there on the social media, and Dobbins is he has an uphill battle if he thinks he's going to get a substantial extension before the season starts, having played like a season and a half or something on his rookie deal because of injuries.
He played eight games last year.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of games. Oh, and zero the year before.
Less.
And then the rookie season, he was injured in week 12 and then did play the final five.
Pay the man.
Like he's been great when he's on the field.
You know, it's
but
hard
when
no
you're
a running back to not have.
No, it's.
To not want to go leverage it. And you see other running backs having to do it. The Saquon Barkley news, which,
yep.
I mean, have we talked about this on the show? I don't think we have. Like, Saquon Barkley has not signed his franchise tender. He is not looking to break the bank. He came out and said he wants to be paid fairly, but he's not trying to set a record. I do not believe Josh Jacobs has signed his franchise tender yet, although there's been no noise about him. But right now, being a running back equates to being undervalued in the market. Like you have very few opportunities to even kind of leverage a team. And I guess Dobbins looked at this as a maybe, and a lot of these end up fine. They end up being like a money gets moved around. We just saw it with Austin Eckler. Maybe Dobbins gets some of his money moved into a bonus, or they give him some more incentives, or, you know, but right now that's what's happening along with. Now, a week ago, this was reported, Ravens coach John Harbaugh told reporters Rashad Bateman had a cortisone-type shot in his foot and will miss several days of practice.
So the quote is cortisone-type?
I guess. Maybe this is John Harbaugh's best effort at understanding medicine.
It's something like one of them cortisone shots.
Yeah, that was, I think...
that was the quote.
And so... You know, according to Matthew Betts, our injury expert here at the Fantasy Footballers, in his experience, cortisone injection is not a part of the rehab plan. If it's going to plan, the recovery for the surgery, which is a Lisfranc injury, usually is 6 to 9 months. He thinks the cortisone type injection, could signal that he's taking longer than usual to get back, which was the whole problem last year with Rashad Bateman multiple times, which led to surgery. And so now you're going to have a question mark of the explosiveness and the speed and whether it's there in the beginning, whether there's re-injury risk, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a bummer to hear it at this point. Rashad Bateman was...
This was week four when he got hurt last year.
Yeah, Rashad Bateman had a couple great games to start for fantasy football. I mean, it really helped Lamar Jackson be a top-end quarterback. We saw his fantasy production fall off when Rashad Bateman wasn't on the field. And it's just like... And in the way that Lamar was talking about Bateman earlier, like a couple weeks ago, you know, essentially saying, yeah, Rashad Bateman is clearly the number one wide receiver on this team. So for them to have to move forward with Beckham, Zay Flowers, who we like Flowers, but he's an unproven rookie at this point. It's not what you want to hear. We still have plenty of time, but it's not what you want to hear right now.
But that could put, I mean, for me, the message is Zay Flowers' opportunity. Because
sure.
I think Beckham at this stage in of his career could be high volume, but maybe not explosive. Like Zay Flowers, at this point, if Bateman does struggle with injury, he has to step up. He has
sure.
to have. I mean, we had games last year with, and Kyle, I know you're listening in. Who was their leading wide receiver towards the end of the year that we kept rolling out?
DeMarcus Robinson.
I mean, there were times we were sitting there starting DeMarcus Robinson. So there will be opportunities. We've seen rookie wide receivers make great strides. So it's like, if you invest in Zay Flowers, he could be good.
Can I?
And if Bateman gets hurt, he could be better.
Can I interest you in Nelson Agholor?
I don't think you can. I don't think so. No.
Okay. No.
I tried.
You can interest me in Mark Andrews, but this this is an injury that has a pretty common reaggravation. Like the Lisfranc injury, we've seen it a lot where year two they need surgery again, and then after the second one, you're totally fine. I'm not saying he's going to need it, but obviously if he's 7 months into his recovery and getting a shot because it's not going well, the arrow is pointing down.
And it points down dramatically for dynasty purposes. If, like you said, he'll be perfectly fine, you'll have missed 2 years. I mean,
yeah.
In that you don't generally get a big second contract at that point in time if you've missed 2 years due to injury. So, risky is the
yes.
Bateman situation right now, and we've got a lot of time to kind of figure it out. And then more talk of Cam Akers, who, you know, we've brought up. Sean McVay said Akers will be a central figure to the team's offense. You know, this was kind of like him saying out loud what was pretty obvious in the depth chart. We don't want to come on here and tell you that Cam Akers is necessarily a
Who?
Huge value.
Cameron, I believe.
Oh,
you're
Cameron.
Cameron Akers.
Akers, yes.
Yeah. Cameron Akers.
Oh, so you're fine with this, but not Darnell Anderson, huh?
Yeah, because we didn't really change much. We just formalized it.
Okay. Well, look, he's the guy in the backfield. And I just talked about how this offense will be undervalued. It will be. Because they're not. The shine is off the Super Bowl rings, right? You had a down year, Stafford's injuries, you lose, players like Ramsey, and this isn't the Hollywood team anymore. But they're going to be undervalued, and we've done that before. We did it 2 years ago. We undervalued Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford in 2021, and they dominated. So anything, you know, Cam Akers right now is going where? RB22?
Yeah, this was... If you're hitting up the underdog, this one is an unfortunate little hype train blur because you could have been scooping up Cam Akers at a very reasonable value. And things like this do move ADP. And I think the sentiment on him will start to get more positive. So if you're drafting right now, enjoy the discount while you can.
All right, we are going to get into the mock draft momentarily. Be right back.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
Yeah, Mike, you said multiple times this offseason you were shocked how high you had Cam Akers ranked, but maybe the hype is starting to catch up to that rank.
Yeah, I still have him ranked slightly ahead of his ADP. It's not a huge gap anymore, but I imagine that will close.
All right, Sasquatch, you ready?
I'm ready for that first pick.
The Fantasy Footballers Mock Draft.
I want to apologize for calling you Sasquatch. It didn't feel good.
Yeah, I prefer Squatch.
Do you now?
Quatch.
I don't
Quatch.
Think.
Oh, it's just Quatch?
Yeah, it's Quatch.
Oh, that's even worse. I love it.
It's just the hat. It's just staring at me.
Yeah.
All right, today, head-to-head-to-head mock draft. Jason from the one spot, Mike from the five. I'm at the nine spot. 12-team half PPR. One quarterback, two running back, two wide receivers, one tight end, one flex, four bench. And, you know, the UDK, it's available. It's a great tool to practice strategy while you're drafting. You can take a look at all of the tiered rankings where we break them up into separate tiers. You can look at the risk and upside meters, and we'll let it guide us a little bit today as we build out these teams. Jason, Mike says he knows who you're picking. I wasn't sure if you'd go a different way, but... Mike correct?
Mike thinks I'm picking Christian McCaffrey.
Sure do.
One of the problems with that right now, the way the ADP is falling in the year of 2023, is that there are a lot of running backs I really, really like at the 2-3 turn. You've got Ramondre Stevenson and Najee Harris, and Tony Pollard will fall there sometimes. And there's a lot of running backs I think you can get there to pair with a Justin Jefferson that goes.
You said Ramondre. Did we mention James Robinson's departure?
No, we did not.
James Robinson has been
not very newsworthy.
Relieved of his duties.
Poor at an NFL level.
Poor James Robinson, dude.
I mean, that's what all the more impressive for Cameron, because that was another Achilles, right? Was his Achilles?
My goodness, I didn't know who you were talking about. Cam Akers. Yes, it was an Achilles.
I didn't know who you were talking about either.
Mike went from in on the joke to who are you talking about?
Let's talk about Cameron, the one and only.
Great.
So I do think that's why when you look at
the
these
only, one and only
these mock drafts, the Cameron. ADP, when you watch when you look at your underdog drafts, I think the reason it's been working to take Justin Jefferson number one is because at that 2-3 turn there's a lot of running backs. And on the flip side, some of those great wide receivers, they're being pushed up this year, and so you're not as happy with the wide receivers at 2-3 turns. So I'm going to take Christian McCaffrey still.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Good pick.
Because this is Christian McCaffrey. I mean, I'm not going to not take Christian McCaffrey.
All right. Jason Quatch has taken Christian McCaffrey. Austin Eckler goes number two. So it does go running back here. A bit of a surprise. Tyreek Hill and then Jefferson at 3-4. Hill is well inside the top 10 by ADP. I think he still has upside. I really do. He's going to be the centerpiece of that offense. Mike, on the clock at 105. Is this too soon for Madison for you?
Slightly.
Okay.
Not a wide margin. I want to, real quick, I know we're in a mock draft show, but I want to talk about some of these players. And I want to ask you guys, the Austin Eckler went number two here. What is your full confidence that Austin Eckler repeats as another elite running, as being an elite running back yet again? I know he's safe from the receptions area, but when you look at like his touchdown totals, so if you take just a simple formula of the average running back scores a touchdown on X amount of yards that they have gained. So last year you're talking about 135 rushing yards turned into a touchdown. So You can use that as to set up like a slight expectation. And Austin Eckler did that at about a 200%. So he was scoring double the amount of times of rushing touchdowns that per rushing.
What about
that
the year before?
That I don't have that information in front of me. And his receiving was also way above average as well. And it, I mean, we're
that's
now,
what special players do, though.
I know. Yeah. And but I'm saying, are we still locked in that Austin Eckler with another year of age and on a team that he has set himself on this show, the team wants other running backs to be involved, and they haven't found it yet, but maybe they do this year. Do you have any concerns at all taking him number two?
I've had concerns this offseason when I was statting for the UDK last year when Eckler played with both Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. He only had a 12% market share, which would have been 78 targets. Still a decent number, but not
right.
You know, when either missed time, he had a 21% market share, 148 target pace. So I got worried there. And then with touchdowns, you know, over the last 2 years, I got a little worried that maybe Austin Eckler was going to regress. And then I came back to essentially what Andy's saying. Great players are great. He's on a great offense. And the depth chart says, I don't care what the team wants. The team wants to get more running backs involved. They're going to need to go find one because they don't have someone else to move the ball. So with this offense, I believe being even better with Kellen Moore, I'm fully in on Eckler as that number two running back.
Yeah, I am too. I'm not going to doubt it after multiple years. I mean, that was the argument last offseason. I mean, to doubt him. Mike, you're at number five right now.
All right. So at number five, you know, the board's still pretty wide open for me. Man.
Who are you thinking about? What are you narrowing it down to?
So to me, it would be between Ja'Marr Chase going with, you know, not new hotness, but the younger player, or Cooper Kupp, who just can't seem to be stopped on a football field when he's healthy and playing. We're not concerned about the injury.
This is where it's so confusing to me compared to previous years. You didn't bring up a running back name.
Right.
Because the running backs in this group are, you know, I don't know what your rankings are right now between Bijan and Taylor and Saquon and Henry and Chubb and Jacobs, but you're not thinking about those names because you see these prolific pass catchers.
Well, and it's about, you know, I'm trying to see if I can exploit the market of, I know that these wide receivers are going to go. The sleeper platform has them all elevated in ADP. And so I think that some running backs will make it back to me who I have ranked pretty high. So that's why I'm choosing to look at the wide receivers here. And so, like, for fun, I'm just going to take Ja'Marr Chase here.
Kelsey goes next.
Bijan
Robinson.
What,
immediately.
You didn't
want
Kelsey?
You didn't want Kelsey to get to
I didn't want Cooper Kupp to get to Andy.
It was really close.
Yeah.
I just saw that. Yeah, Cooper Kupp went 108. Yeah, I don't like being in this position right here. I would have loved it with Cooper Kupp there.
You could make a fully legitimate argument, and I have personally selected this in real drafts this offseason, that Cooper Kupp should be the 101. And so he is a guy that right now is just falling. Like you said, Andy, the shine is not on the Rams right now. So if you're drafting at the 7 or 8 spot and Cooper Kupp's falling to you, that's an auto selection for me.
And he didn't, so I can't auto select him, Jason. And this is the similar position that Mike was in, where, you know, Bijan went off the board. Jonathan Taylor, none of us have him ranked as high as others. Saquon Barkley is in consideration here. Stephon Diggs, his situation seems to be clearing up if you had any concerns.
What?
By the way, his situation is being like the highest paid wide receiver on a great team, but still found a way to be upset.
The problem was the head coach there did not do Stephon Diggs any favors when Diggs was apparently in the facility yesterday or the morning, and then mandatory camp started and he wasn't there. And they said, Coach McDermott, how do you feel about this? And he said, I'm very concerned. You need to check yourself.
You think so? Because all I know is he was there the next day. He said, I'm very concerned. It got public pressure. And then Diggs was like, all right, I'm out here.
You're mad at the head coach?
I just thought it was weird.
Apparently, I don't know what happened. Apparently the struggle is not over money. It is Diggs upset more with his role and his role.
Yeah, let's go get more targets for Stephon Diggs, please.
Yeah.
So to me, look, Saquon's in consideration. Derrick Henry is so far down on what Sleeper has as the ADP. I would love to be able to bypass Saquon and take Henry because I don't – or Chubb in the next round. So I guess I have to go wide receiver here. Kelsey's already off the board. And so it's too early for somebody like Andrews. I would never take him here. This sucks. I don't like being at the nine spot at all because I don't feel like I'm getting a value. I'm going to take Stephon Diggs. Barkley will go next. Taylor, Lamb, Mahomes. Thank you. A.J. Brown and Amon-Ra St. Brown. A.J. Brown being back here at 204 would have been very tempting. But I have a long wait for an upper tier running back, and so I'm going to go ahead and go back to the Derrick Henry well again.
The Quatch's cousin.
The Quatch's cousin, yes.
This is the best word ever.
It's a tough word.
Yeah, it's one we want to get right.
You're on the Quatch watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So Diggs and Henry, I'm fine with it. They are both, for a moment, they're kind of the tried and true in fantasy right now. So neither of them hits like drafting Jamar Chase like Mike did or a Bijan or Cooper Kupp off a rebound year. They both hit like, well, we've kind of always known what they're going to give you. But that's okay in fantasy. That's one thing you have to overcome sometimes is, you know, take players that you know are going to produce. I have no doubt that Diggs and Henry are going to produce. And you don't want to whiff early. Like, there's a higher percentage chance that Bijan Robinson, I think, has a surprisingly bad year than Diggs, like just independently. Now, he could be the other direction and be the linchpin of your running back.
He could be the RB1.
Yeah, but there's also more risk to him than there is somebody like Diggs. So we'll come back to Mike here. After Henry, it was Jacobs, Wilson, that would be Garrett Wilson, and Davante Adams, who fell all the way to 207.
So I have Jamar Chase. I would prefer to grab a running back here. Let's see. The wide receivers on the board, they're still tasty. You know, it's the twos for the team, like Waddle, T. Higgins. I'm not really into trying to formulate a super stack of the Cincinnati Bengals with my first two picks.
That would be a problem.
It honestly, like, if you went all in with Chase, Higgins, and Burrow, there's a chance that it does actually work out. Like, there's been some teams in the past, and the Bengals, if any team does it this year, they would be the least surprising. And then where I'm really struggling here is the ADP game of the running backs who are available, because I have Mr. Ramondre Stevenson ranked very high. He is currently sitting as my running back three.
There is one running back left in tier two when you look at our consensus rankings.
Is it Chubb?
It's Chubb.
Yeah. I prefer Ramondre Stevenson over Nick Chubb. I want a guy who I know is going to catch passes. We just mentioned James Robinson has been removed from that depth chart. Looking at the guys behind Ramondre is like, who
I
can
think that's
possibly challenge Ramondre Stevenson for work in either aspect of the game?
No.
I think that's a profound thing to say, though, that you would prefer Ramondre to Nick Chubb.
I think it is. I think it is surprising to people. But if you really dig into the numbers and you look at the situation, it's very, very realistic. I have Chubb ahead of Ramondre, but I absolutely love Ramondre, and that depth chart is – there is not someone on that roster that is going to take away enough work from a guy who can be a goal line guy, a guy who can be a pass catcher. You know, you lost Damian Harris, and they didn't really replace him.
Right, yeah, you have, like, Kevin Harris, who had – what was the total touches between, like, Harris and Pierre Strong?
28 carries between Kevin Harris and Pierre Strong, and then you have Ty Montgomery, who – you know,
we'll
people
see.
Will talk about him in the offseason.
I'm doing
and that's
it. I'm doing it. I'm taking Ramondre Stevenson.
Stevenson goes to Mike. Nick Chubb goes next. Jefferson Chubb for Team 4. Harris and Waddle, and then we're back on Quatch Watch.
Quatch Watch. I know one of my picks. One of my picks is going to be Tony Pollard. This was, you know, that's a running back that, as the depth chart stands now, while we're drafting, he projects to be a top 10, you know, locked and loaded running back. He was the running back 7 last year with Zeke. Now Zeke is gone. They want to run the ball more. So he's locked in. Now I've got Christian McCaffrey and Tony Pollard. Not taking a wide receiver here.
That's pretty nice.
See, oh, I'm very happy with those two. But now there's a lot of questions because...
Can I have the first pick?
I really, really, really am tempted to draft now in the beginning of the third a Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts type. We saw the difference okay. they made. I'm also probably my favorite player to draft this year is Mark Andrews. In the third round. I think that the value he provides over Kelce in the first personally
is great. And all three
will
be gone if you pass on them here.
Yes. So the issue is if I take any of them, I'm now going to the far side of the fourth round. Basically, the 4-5 turn is my first wide receiver, and I just don't know if I can make it that long. So I'm going to stick to a wide receiver here. And I will take T. Higgins. I'll take your counterpart across the field, Mike, since you have Ja'Marr Chase.
Well, Josh Allen went next, then Breece Hall and Joe Burrow, and Mike is on the clock. Ja'Marr Chase, Ramondre Stevenson. Would Burrow have been tempting at all in the third round here, Mike?
No,
with,
not
with
for
Ja'Marr
me.
Chase? Okay.
No, not for me.
So, Mike, what are your options here? At running back, ADP-wise, ETN, Kenneth Walker, Jahmyr Gibbs, Mixon, who...
Man.
You know, if you ask the question about ADP changing for running backs, Mixon's got to be in consideration.
Yeah, I mean, there was – did you guys catch the – there was a report from – I believe it was in The Athletic, and they were talking about they're projecting that the Bengals might put the salary squeeze onto Joe Mixon as, you know, it, like – because right now he's on the team. There's all these other things floating around him on the outside, and he's being overpaid for what he is able to do on the field. And they were in this article, they were kind of implying the team is going to say, you have to take less, basically like a Dalvin Cook.
Cause you won't get more out there. Cause there's all this stuff swirling.
Yes.
And teams don't want to bring you in and give you the role we're going to give you.
So it's very
work.
Interesting. Like the Joe Mixon saga is not done. I don't think I think seismic things will happen. Yeah, right now Joe Mixon, the third highest running back cap hit in the NFL, he has not played up to that on the field. But the running backs here are meh. Mark Andrews is very, very tempting at this point, but so is the wide receiver I'm going to take. I'm going to take Chris Olave of the New Orleans Saints. I am just... Oh, Mark Andrews go right before
I just
you.
I really don't like this draft spot, guys. I mean, Olave's who I was targeting. So Mike went with Olave. So Chase Stevenson, Olave. I figure Olave might get back to me because I feel like Hurts and Andrews would go. Hurts and Andrews go right before me. So, I mean, I lost out on Cup by a pick. I lost out on Andrews by a pick. If I was sitting here, Cup, Henry, Andrews, I'm feeling different than I feel right now. Instead, the epic tier, I'll call it, of quarterbacks is gone. The tier one, tier two. Depending on your view of Fields and Lamar, and look, I like Justin Herbert this year. I can wait. So that stinks because Jalen Hurts was in consideration here. And there's no tight end on the board that I would want or a quarterback that I would want. And so now I'm looking at DK Metcalf in the third, Devontae Smith. And the tiers, it's getting thin at a couple of positions, and I've got two picks to make. So we are all the way out of tier four at wide receiver. Tier five, Olave is the first guy in that group for us, but it's a big tier. It's Cooper and Allen and Metcalf and Smith and Ridley and Hollywood and Judy. So that's a tough one. At running back, Ken Walker, who, look, I had more confidence before – 2 weeks ago than I do now, because I'm believing more and more where you guys were that Charbonnet is going to get a bigger role, and so that gets scary. And you got Aaron Jones, who look nobody wants to mess with Aaron Jones for some reason.
Aaron Jones is so difficult to gauge, man. He should be fantastic again.
Yeah, he's been a running back one the last two seasons.
I'm going.
No one wants him.
Yeah, yeah. There are Aaron Jones and Jahmyr Gibbs are the two names that jump out to me I think Kenneth Walker slips into tier five for us. So I'm going to go with the...
I thought this would be an auto Metcalf pick for you because you've got him so high.
I do, but I think that there's an opportunity for me to get a wide receiver I like similarly on the way back, and I don't think Gibbs and Aaron Jones will make it back. That would be the gamble. I have six picks to wait, and I think Jones and Gibbs end that tier. And so I'm going to take the opposite of the Diggs Henry. We know what we're getting. I'm going to go with the excitement of Jahmyr Gibbs.
I like it.
And then Aaron Jones goes next. Unfortunately, Metcalf, of course, and Devontae Smith, Joe Mixon, Lamar Jackson, and Kenneth Walker. So coming back around to me.
TJ Hockenson's there.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Just trying to help a friend.
I just genuinely am not enjoying spot nine. Diggs, Henry, Gibbs. I'm looking at Fields and Herbert. They'll both be gone by the time they come back around.
Maybe. I mean, you have three teams that have already selected a quarterback between you.
They'll both be gone.
Okay.
I think. And then J.K. Dobbins is sitting there.
Like at practice? Not doing anything?
Yeah, exactly. Madison is on the board, but I don't have the same confidence that you guys do in Madison. And so I'm gonna go with a wide receiver here. I'm going to take Keenan Allen.
Oh, dirty dog.
Yeah.
I don't feel like a dirty dog. I feel like a settling cat.
You have... I was settling. Well, it's just the opposite of dog.
Is a settling cat? Wouldn't it be like a clean cat?
Mike.
Yeah, why is it settling?
We're talking about
settling on these picks. They're not... Like I said, if Andrew slips a pick, if Cup slips a pick, I'm feeling better about it.
Yeah. So
Kyle is happy.
You want to be team eight, not team nine. But while you
but
have...
But I'm doing the best I can with team nine. That's all I can do.
You've got three old dudes in Diggs, Derrick Henry, and Keenan Allen. But you've
I'm ready to get hurt.
Yeah, you've got three great players who you know they're going to be great when they're on the field.
Yeah. Yeah, Brooks, you're right. I'm fueling the everyone should play in an auction league instead of get stuck with the ninth pick.
Yeah, but not everyone has 12 hours to do a draft.
That's true.
Am I up now?
It's worth, had I done what Jason said and passed on Gibbs and went Metcalf, I would have come back and my options would have been Miles Sanders, J.K. Dobbins, Madison. I like Gibbs a lot more than those options. So I'm okay with how it turned out. Justin Fields is already gone. Debo and Hockenson have gone. Mike, sorry, Hockenson's out of the picture for you.
Oh, man.
Mike, you got to make your selection.
Sweet. Alexander Madison.
Sure.
Yeah, baby.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there was some reports earlier today about them maybe ending up as more of a committee in Minnesota. Talking about 11-on-11s. Is it Kenne Nwangwu?
Nwangwu. Yeah, I had heard.
Was taken third downs.
Yeah, it's not super surprising. That someone else was doing it. But that was, I think, the biggest report I had seen from Minnesota was that Madison is getting the bulk, the majority of the carries with the ones, and it is not Ty Chandler who's the next man up. So far, it is Nwangwu. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think it's a good pick. And, you know, his ADP will continue to rise a little bit from here. We're still... you know, slow in the news cycle. So I'm on the clock now.
Cooper, Ridley, Hopkins after Madison.
Yeah, a couple of wide receivers went. Those three wide receivers should not go ahead of this guy, my Terry McLaurin, who I will take wide receiver one.
If it were up to you, no player drafted so far should go in front of Terry McLaurin.
And then I am okay that I left the third round option of Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen because I do believe that Justin Herbert's going to be fantastic this year, have that bounce back season, and getting him in the fifth versus them in the third. I needed that wide receiver in T. Higgins. So I like the way my team is turning out. Christian McCaffrey, Tony Pollard at running back, T. Higgins and Terry McLaurin at wide receiver. And then I got a star on Justin Herbert at quarterback to, you know, he's really the last of a tier. And I'm sure that is upsetting Andy.
I already said they'd be gone. Yeah. So, I mean, it's fine. I just expected to be the two picks before I picked.
Well, now it can be two other guys that you want to draft.
Pierce, Kittle, Dobbins. Dobbins dropping to 504. That seems like a steal. Mike, you are sitting at 505.
I am. J.K. Dobbins, probably, despite the things that are going on, would have been an auto selection for me. Looking at the tier of wide receiver who are still available, this is a big bucket where we are at this point of the draft, and yet the running back bucket is starting to empty out. And I'm a little surprised that Jason went quarterback Justin Herbert when Miles Sanders was on the board, because I like Miles Sanders, but I feel like Jason is just infatuated and madly in love with Miles Sanders as his potential as a Carolina Panther, as the only show in town for the Panthers, and I will take him in the fifth.
Yeah, I love the value that you can get on Miles Sanders right here, middle of the fifth round, getting a running back that could be a three-down running back. I've cooled on him a little bit from my initial stat projections.
You're out of the honeymoon phase?
I'm out of the honeymoon phase. I'm in the reality phase. I don't think it's going to be a phenomenal offense. I do think they've got a great offensive line. I do think he's going to be the dude. But with a rookie quarterback starting week one, that usually doesn't mean great things for the offense as a whole and for the starting running back.
All right, after Miles Sanders, Mike's start is great. Chase, Stevenson, Olave, Madison, Sanders. Drake London goes next, DeAndre Swift, and then DJ Moore. I do have a pick I want here, and I'm, for once, looking forward to making it. It's Cam Akers. We talked about him earlier. I'm going to take Cam Akers at 509 here.
Cameron.
I like Cameron more than Madison. I like him, and I get him a round and a half later. So I'm happy there. Trevor Lawrence goes next. Was not in consideration for me at quarterback. Teamless Dalvin Cook, Jerry Jeudy, Dallas Goedert. That would have been another pick I would have loved to have slipped to me.
Sure.
Christian Watson and Michael Pittman. This is an interesting spot here because there's one other running back that I really liked with the Cam Akers opportunity, and it was James Conner. He's still on the board here.
Oh, man.
In the middle of the sixth round, you'd be taking a player that's going to be sitting on your bench potentially at that position. Now, at wide receiver, my initial hope when taking Cam Akers was that Hollywood Brown would come back around to me. He is there. If I don't select Hollywood or Mike Williams or Mike Evans, I'm going to be in a much lower tier at wide receiver later on.
You want to have both Charger wide receivers?
No. No, I'm just saying the three names in that tier. So I think I'm going to stick with my plan and go with Hollywood at 604. You're going to see an undervaluing of Cardinals assets. We talked about it earlier. It's why Connor and Hollywood, who are probably the entire offense in Arizona, are both they're both there in the sixth round. So, you know, Hollywood had that strong start to last season. First six games on pace for 1,374 yards and nine touchdowns. So, Mike, you are back on the clock. Connor did go. Rashad White, Chris Godwin as well.
All right. I am back up. It's not always about what you have done last season to project into the future, but my dude has done it now for five straight years being a top 15 wide receiver.
You take him all that you – Don't take him away from me.
Sorry. Tyler Lockett will be on my team. I have him projected again as a top 15 wide receiver. That projection could fall right on its face if Jaxon Smith-Njigba is more involved than I am projecting. He will be currently as a first round wide receiver. All reports on him have been very, very positive. But I'm going to stick with Tyler Lockett, who it just seems like he cannot be stopped.
We don't have a problem with Tyler Lockett. I am surprised that he went ahead of a couple of the names that are still on the board. In particular, Mike Evans, there is salary talk about him getting another deal and an extension. But I know you love Lockett. Kamara, Mike Williams, Ayuk, the Quatch has two picks.
The Quatch is up, and the Quatch knows what he's doing. One of the players that I was really hoping came back around fell to me, and I was a little surprised, But this is my year. I've been anti this player the last 2 years. It's worked out.
Deontay Johnson.
I'm in on him this year. It's Kyle Pitts.
Oh, baby.
So I'm taking Kyle Pitts there.
Everything you said is also true of Deontay Johnson, but you went with Pitts.
That is also true of Deontay Johnson. And now I'm going to take – I took the player across the field from Mike's Ja'Marr Chase, and I'm going to take the player behind Andy's Jahmyr Gibbs. And I actually think David Montgomery – is going to have a phenomenal season because you saw it last year with Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift. And DeAndre Swift was injured some and they didn't like him and they love Gibbs, but Gibbs is not the goal line guy. And with that offensive line and that offense, David Montgomery is going to have 10 touchdowns this year. So, to get a guy like that, that legitimately could, you project it's very realistic to have double digit touchdowns, to get that in the seventh round at running back is value I can't pass there.
Darren Waller goes next. I did have my eye on him down the line here. Dak Prescott, Isaiah Pacheco, Mike back on the clock, Chase, Stevenson, Olave, Madison, Sanders, Lockett.
Man. So looking at the
running... You and I have not taken a quarterback or a tight end thus far. Five rounds remaining.
Yeah, I'm still good. Looking at the running back position here, the Javonte Williams... sitting here in the seventh. I know that we are projecting he won't be ready to start the season. But man, in the seventh round, what if he is? So I find that one that's pretty appealing. Oh my gosh. And wide receiver, it's at this point you can go with some of the older guys, Mike Evans, Deontay Johnson. This is a really difficult pick for me at this moment. Tight end is kind of off the board. It's Muth, Engram, David Njoku. Nothing that I think is like a league-winning type of player. Man, I'm really struggling with this one.
You don't say.
No, I'm trying
to... We could not have guessed.
You guys had nothing else to say about Javonte Williams.
I'm not taking Javonte Williams over Samaje Perine in any draft. Samaje Perine's production, when you compare it to how Madison has performed in his opportunities, Perine's been the better player. And I think Samaje Perine is going to start the season. And I thought the question for the quick question today was which player's ADP is going to go up the most. So I had put Perine in there until I realized it was a quarterback. I think Samaje Perine is the most valuable late round running back that can be had. Sean Payton's running offense, we all have confidence in it. We just haven't been willing to say Samaje Perine's name out loud with confidence, and I don't know why. His numbers are impressive.
I'm going to take Michael Evans.
That would have been funnier if you had just said Javonte right then. Mike Evans in the seventh round is ridiculous. Javonte went next, Pickens, then Watson. I am back on the clock. I'm going to this was a situation where I thought Deontay Johnson would be gone. I'm going to go with more upside here. I'm going to go with Jahan Dotson. I get him three rounds after Terry McLaurin.
Yep.
Kirk goes next, then Deontay, James Cook, Addison, Brandon Cooks, and Freiermuth.
Brandon Cooks.
Addison was the player I was really hoping got to me at the next turn.
So you're disappointed.
I am.
Okay, so four rounds left for my team. Diggs, Henry Gibbs, Allen Akers, Hollywood, and Jahan Dotson. I'll throw his name out there because he's buried in ADP because of the question marks, but Rashad Bateman's name is out there. Zay Flowers' name is out there. We talked about both of them earlier. Evan Engram at tight end. Dalton Schultz, some other guys that I think I can settle for later. Antonio Gibson. Do I have what it takes to take Antonio Gibson?
I thought he was your champion. Back-to-back Manders for Andrew Holloway.
I need a running back. Some people have pointed out Brian Robinson, his numbers over the final 5 weeks, if you looked at it, even from a yards per carry standpoint, vastly improved. And we need to remember he was shot.
Sure.
So when you get back out on the field after being shot, it's possible there might be some post-shot-in-the-butt acclimation. It's not a standard thing we see.
Yeah, not a lot of data on it.
Not a lot of long-term data on that. This is a tough pick. I'm going to take Antonio Gibson.
I was between Gibson and Montgomery at my last pick. I went Montgomery, and part of the reason was because I had Terry McLaurin. I didn't want the double Manders in the passing and the running game. But you get him a round later, so that value is, you know, going with Dotson and Gibson.
And Treylon Burks was in consideration there, too.
Yeah.
But with Hollywood and Dotson back-to-back.
Treylon was who I was hoping for after Addison.
Smith and Jigba, Burks and Brian Robinson go next. Mike, you're back on the clock.
I love your team, Mike.
Oh, thank you very much. So the top ADP running backs, A.J. Dillon, Jamal Williams. I think A.J. Dillon is interesting at this point. Jamal Williams, like, that's very difficult to even know what to do because Kendre Miller, we still haven't gotten a bunch of reports on him because he's still recovering from injury. I think that he could end up being the RB2 for the Saints, and we still don't have the Alvin Kamara situation resolved. So whoever it is, Williams or Miller, if they get to take over, they could have really strong value to start the season. But I can't stop drafting this player. I will take Rashad Penny, who I am projecting to be the leader of the Philadelphia Eagles running backs. And Miles Sanders, while it was up and down, it was still a very valuable pick. And to get if you can get that, anything close to that in the eighth round at the running back position is a massive value.
Michael Thomas finally went at 809. I thought he might be in consideration.
That's a good pick. I have Olave, so I don't want Michael Thomas.
Herbert, Dillon, and then two picks for Jason.
Two picks for me. Right now I've got three running backs and only two wide receivers because I have taken both a tight end and a quarterback. So I'm looking at double-tapping the wide receiver position here.
We're
in a situation, obviously, now that we're in the, you know, the eighth and ninth round, that you've got question marks. And I'm not looking for guys that I know are going to be a little bit involved. I'm looking for someone that can hopefully really explode, have a big year. I'm going to start with a post-hype sleeper, someone that disappointed in tremendously last year, but was actually, on the course of the season, pretty decent, still has a great opportunity in front of him. That's Gabe Davis. And then I believe before the Bateman news that Zay Flowers would be the number one wide receiver. So I will take Zay Flowers and Gabe Davis for some upside with my Higgins and McLaurin.
I'm a little surprised Juju wasn't in stronger consideration when you talk about guaranteed production. But I understand looking for some upside.
I like Juju a lot. He's one of my most rostered underdog players because of where he's going. He's going to outproduce where he's going. He just doesn't have the upside that I think my roster construction needed at this point. I was looking more for someone that could be really hot this year.
Do you have any concerns for, speaking about Juju, the reports we're currently getting out of New England? They're very, very 12 heavy, you know, putting Mike Gesicki and Hunter Henry on the field. And does Bill Belichick look at Juju as anything other than a slot wide receiver? Because if you're putting the two tight ends on the field, then you don't have that option.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see them. I mean, obviously, if they are in 12 and they don't have the slot, but the slot's been such an important role for New England offenses forever. Bill O'Brien uses him. So I can't imagine, especially with the involvement that you saw from Jakobi Meyers last year, that Juju's not going to be the leading target getter there.
Yeah, I mean, they had Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry ambitions as well. So it'll be interesting. Who's your outside wide receiver then? Tyquan Thornton?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, Mike, you're back on the clock. We have three picks left.
And if I'm going to fill out the roster, which I will do, I need a quarterback and a tight end. So I guess I should actually look at a quarterback position here. And let's see, who does not have a quarterback? Andy does not. This is what you got to do in the draft. So it's just one team.
Team 11. Oh, no, they do. Yeah, I'm the only team that doesn't have one.
Although the second quarterback could start coming off of the...
Probably not now, but maybe.
It's very possible, but I'm going to take... I'm going to take some upside. I'm going to take Tua.
Yeah, well, that makes sense because he was my next pick. So I was hoping you might just let it ride.
Well, I've thought about letting
him ride. I mean, you weren't even looking at quarterback, and you went all the way to taking the guy I wanted to slip to me at 9:09.
I wasn't looking at it, but then the tone of your voice said, I'm going to draft Tua if you don't draft him here.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
You did that to yourself.
All right, then I'll take P. Ryan here in the 9th round, and I've got to close out my draft here. Juju finally went at 9:12, Bateman at 10:01, Cortland Sutton, probably on my do not draft list this year.
Oh, Cortland Sutton.
So final two picks of the draft. I have to go with quarterback tight end to finish it out. I guess I'm going to wait all the way to the end. I'm going to go with Chig Okonkwo here at 10:04. And, Mike, you are on the clock.
So if I'm looking at tight ends.
I was looking at Mike needing a tight end and just didn't want to hand him Chig.
Yeah, I probably would have drafted him. But so you got Cole Kmet, Dalton Kincaid, Tyler Higbee, Greg Dulcich. I mean, it's not looking.
Yeah, that's why I took Chig, is because I had read those names to myself.
Oh, man, it's not looking great at the tight end position. So do I even really care? Goodness gracious.
I want you to want to take Dalton Kincaid with this pick.
I have to. I'll take Dalton Kincaid.
Lazard, Eli Mitchell, Daniel Jones, Mike.
I mean, I know you're shaking your head, Jay, but it's like,
why not?
Yeah, at this point,
there's no reason. You can dump him and sign Everett or Dulcich or Juwan Johnson or Ertz or McBride or Taysom Hill.
Yeah, I mean,
you might as well see if he's involved in the offense in week one.
Yes, there is a world that exists where that is the better strategy. I just don't believe it's the world we live in.
There's a lot of multiverse stuff going on right now, Jay.
I would prefer Gerald Everett, Tyler Higbee. Greg Dulcich would probably actually have been my pick.
I can't do that. I can't do that to my guy.
To the Troutman?
Yeah, I can't do that to Adam Troutman.
Oh, man.
Starting tight end for the Denver Broncos.
Oh, nope. Give me a break.
Nope. No, he's not.
Final two picks, Mr.
All right,
Moore.
Final two picks. I'll make these quick. I am in need of a running back, and I'm between Ezekiel Elliott and Kendre Miller, the old man without a team, and the rookie running back who Mike and I were both in love with.
Yes.
Who now finds himself on a somewhat clogged roster, but I'm going to take the talent of the new hotness and take Kendre Miller, and now I'm at a position where I could go wide receiver or running back, and I'm going to just take the player that I think has the most value going forward, and that appears to be...
Oh, yeah, the player.
No
the
one.
The guy.
I'm going to take... Oh, no, I'm not. All right.
He's just going to take the player that has so much value going forward.
I'm going to swing for the fences here. I'm going to take Elijah Moore.
All right.
Hopefully involved with Voldemort getting back to his former ways.
All right. Here we are again. Another draft where the starting two running backs in Miami have not been selected.
Yep.
Mike, you are on the clock.
Jeff Wilson was someone I was going to look at. I was hoping Damien Harris may have dropped to me. A Buffalo. I like his chances of touchdown upside this year. Man, the wide receivers, I'm trying to find someone who I think could have just like an explosion out
Jonathan
of nowhere.
Jonathan Mingo has an opportunity to be the number one guy.
Yeah, and I really, really like Mingo, the player.
Romeo Doubs is there.
But the rookie wide receiver with the rookie quarterback is, I mean.
Beckham is there.
Rushy Rice.
Yeah, I would take Sky Moore before I took Rice.
What?
Yeah.
But we saw him fail.
Yeah, I would too.
What?
I would too. Yeah.
Okay.
Sky Moore, I think, is going to be pretty involved.
So, Romeo Doubs is an interesting name to bring up.
Can you give me one more what, though?
Tell me.
Come on, Quatch.
What?
Thank you. Come on, Quatch. Man, that word. All right.
What?
Mike, Adam Thielen, starting wide receiver.
No, never.
Make a pick.
All right,
how about that?
I'll take Romeo Doubs.
Yeah, that's the pick.
I don't hate
and
it.
And guess what? We've got Aaron Rodgers going off the board with the second quarterback for Team 6, leaving me with literally garbage.
garbage!
Now, it's a perfect capstone to this draft. I will take the player I started talking about at the top of the show. I'll take Matthew Stafford with the final final pick in my draft. And Geno goes next, Higbee. So Russ actually went with the final pick of the draft. Oh, boy, that was a tough one. But that's how it goes. I mean, that's why we mock draft is you want to kind of – sometimes they cruise along and sometimes they're more of a slog and you have to make tough decisions and they reveal stuff about where you actually see players.
Mm-hmm.
To round out this draft, my quarterback is Stafford. My wideouts, Diggs, Keenan Allen, Hollywood, and Dotson. I like that group. Derrick Henry, Jahmyr Gibbs, Cam Akers, Antonio Gibson, and Samaje Perine at running back. My tight end is, of course, Chig Okonkwo.
And I have my quarterback position. I have Tua will be slinging the ball for me at wide receiver. Jamar Chase, Chris Olave, Tyler Lockett, Mike Evans, and the last selection of Romeo Doubs, because I hear Jordan Love loves him, and hopefully that works out. At running back, we got Ramondre Stevenson, Alexander Mattison, Miles Sanders, and Rashad Penny.
And
Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah, you don't need to mention that one. At quarterback, I have Justin Herbert. At wide receiver, T. Higgins, Terry McLaurin, Gabe Davis, Zay Flowers, and Elijah Moore. At running back, Christian McCaffrey, Tony Pollard, David Montgomery, and Kendre Miller. And then Kyle Pitts. I'm in on Pitts.
Yeah, that's the funny juxtaposition of in on Pitts this year with Ritter. After being out on Pitts all these years and then out on Kincaid with Allen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was...
You can see my logic that I care more about year in the league than
See that. I just don't think... I mean, it'll be interesting. I bet you Kincaid catches more touchdown passes than Kyle Pitts does.
Ooh.
Whether that ends up with a better fantasy season or not, that's one that I'll be surprised. Pitts has not been able to get into the end zone with Matt Ryan and now Mr. Mariota, but maybe this year. I'd love to see it. Nobody likes Kyle Pitts more than I used to.
The scars are still fresh.
I just don't have the confidence in Ritter in that offense. I mean, watching Kyle Pitts was watching 10 to 12 plays, hoping for one target. Eventually, because it was run, right? And then the one target happens. It is a bad target. And then you have to watch 10, 12, 15 plays. That's what made it so hard. It wasn't the lack of talent. It was like the clock just goes and goes. And one more target, please. Bad target. All right, 12 more plays. Hopefully we can get him involved more this year. That would be nice.
I want him to catch a pass in the end zone from Bijan Robinson. That's going to happen
once
this
year. That's why,
I drafted him.
All right. For Andy, Mike, and Quatch, we say goodbye on today's episode of the show. UltimateDraftKit.com. If you want to dig into all of the research from ourselves and our team, check that out. Early breakouts and sleepers on Thursday. Don't miss it.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode of the podcast. Since you're still hanging around, I'd like to personally invite you to become a part of our thriving fantasy football community. Get access to exclusive Discord channels, extra episodes, fantasy football tools, resources, and the personal satisfaction of supporting an independent podcast. Learn more at jointhefoot.com.